Chapter 5. Will this God-King flay me or fuck me? Vi Suvari sat in the receiving chamber outside Cenaria Castle's throne room, straining to overhear the God-King while she toyed with the guard, who couldn't help but stare at her. Anything she could learn about why she'd been summoned might save her life. Her master, Hugh Gibbet, had just brought in Duke Tensor Vargon, one of the Caladoran nobles who had come in to help assimilate Cenaria into the Caladoran Empire. Apparently, the Duke had murdered some Cenarian noble. It had to pose an interesting problem for the king, who styled himself a god. Tensor Vargon was a trusted vassal, but letting him off would have serious ramifications. The Cenarian nobles who'd bent the knee to serve Gareth had been allowed to keep at least portions of their lands, might find their spines and rebel. The Cenarian nobles who were in hiding would have new evidence of Caladoran brutality to rally more people to their banners. But why is Master Gibbet here? He had exuded that air of clever self-satisfaction that Vi knew all too well. She crossed her legs to recapture the guard's attention. In fighting terms, the terms Hugh Gibbet had taught Vi, it was a feint. The motion of her legs got his attention. Turning her head to the side gave him safety, and leaning forward gave him a view. She didn't dare invoke a glamour this close to the God King, but that was fine. Cleavage had its own magic. She wore a fitted cerulean dress, so light it was faintly translucent. She had made her intentions clear to Master Picun, so the tailor kept the dress simple, hardly any embroidery, just a little in the old Caladoran runic style around the hem and wrists, an inscription from an ancient, erotic poem. No lace, no frills, just clean lines and curves. Master Picun was an inveterate lech, and this was the only dress he'd declared fit for the God-King. "The man has dozens of wives," the tailor sniffed. "Let those cows speak with silk. You will sing the sweet tones of flesh." If the guard was like most men, he would stare for 2 to 4 seconds, double-check that no one was noticing him stare, and then stare again. The trick was now. Vi flicked her eyes up suddenly and caught the guard just as he was starting to stare again. She pinned him to the wall with her eyes. Guilt flashed across his features, and before he could cover it with boldness or glance away, she stood and walked toward him. He was Caladoran, of course, so she adjusted accordingly. Caladoran's sense of personal space didn't extend as far as Cenarian's. Pricking the bubble of his personal space, with all the attendant connotations, meant stepping so close that he could smell not just her perfume, but her breath. She stepped in and held him with her eyes for one more second, until he was about to speak. "Excuse me," she said, still looking him in the eye, her expression intense. "May I sit here?" "I wasn't staring, I mean..." She sat in his chair, a foot from the door, her shoulders forward, face turned up. Angelic. She wore her blonde hair up so the elaborately woven plaits didn't obscure the view. It was too tempting. The guard's eyes shifted the fraction of an inch from her eyes to her cleavage, and then leapt back to her face.
"Please..."
she said with a little smile that told him yes, she'd seen, and no, she didn't mind. He cleared his throat.
I don't think that would be a problem," he said.
Vi instantly forgot him and listened.
"Can't go directly to the hole, that would defeat the purpose,"
a tenor voice said. That would be Duke Vargon, but he sounded confident.
"What?
How can he sound confident?" Vi heard her master reply, but couldn't tell what he said. Then the God-King spoke, but she caught nothing but
Common cells until the trial. Then the hole.
Yes, Your Holiness, Duke Vargon said. Vi's head spun. Whatever they were planning, the Caladoran Duke had nothing in his voice that suggested a prisoner begging for clemency. He sounded like an obedient vassal, accomplishing some high purpose with a reward waiting at the end of it. She didn't have any time to try to put it together before the doors opened, and her master led Duke Vargon out. Contradicting what she'd just heard, the Duke looked beaten, both physically and mentally, his clothes disheveled and dirty, and his eyes stuck to the floor. Hugh Gibbet turned to her as they walked past. The wet boy had such delicate features that he couldn't be called handsome. With fine blonde hair that reached his shoulders, large eyes, and a sculptured figure, he was still beautiful, even in his mid-30s. He smiled his serpent's smile at Vi and said, "The God King will see you now." Vi felt a chill, but she just stood and walked into the throne room. From this room, the late King Gunder had hired her to kill Kylar Stern. As she was apprenticed to Hugh Gibbet, Kylar was apprenticed to the city's other great wet boy, Durzo Blint, who was more respected, equally feared, and less reviled than her own master. Killing Kylar was to have been Vi's masterpiece, the last kill of her apprenticeship. It would have meant freedom. Freedom from Hugh. She'd botched it. And later that very day, in this very room, someone they called the Night Angel had killed 30 Caladorans, 5 witches, and the God King's own son. Vi thought she might be the only person who suspected that Kylar was the Night Angel.
Nisos! Kylar stepped into legend the same day I had him under my knife. I could have aborted a legend.
There was no sign of the battle now. The throne room had been cleaned of blood and fire and magic, and stood pristine. On each side, 7 columns supported the arched ceiling, and thick Caladoran tapestries draped the walls to fight the autumnal chill. The God King sat on the throne, surrounded by guards, Verdmeisters in their black and red robes, advisors, and servants. Vi had expected her summons, but she had no idea of the reason for it. Did the God King know Kylar was the Night Angel? Was she to be punished for letting the God King's son die? Did the man with dozens of wives want to fuck another pretty girl? Or was he just curious to see the city's only female wet boy?
"You think you're clever, Viridiana Sovari?"
the God King asked. Gareth Orsul was younger than she had expected, maybe 50, and still vigorous. He was thick through the arms and body, bald as an egg, and his eyes fell on her like a millstone.
"Pardon me, Your Holiness." She started to make it a question, then changed her mind. "Yes. And it's Vi."
He beckoned her forward, and she climbed the 14 steps to stand directly in front of his throne. He looked her up and down, not surreptitiously as men so often did, nor hot and boldly. Gareth Orsul looked at her as if she were a pile of grain, and he was trying to guess her weight.
"Take off your dress," he said.
The inflection of his voice gave her nothing to work with. It might have been a comment on the weather. Did he want her to seduce him? She didn't care if Gareth Orsul banged her, but she planned to be lousy if he did. Becoming the God King's lover was too dangerous. She'd been warming one monster's bed since puberty, and she didn't fancy trading up. Still, god or king or monster, Gareth Orsul was one you didn't cross. So Vi obeyed instantly. In 2 seconds, Master Pekun's dress slid to the floor. Vi hadn't worn undergarments, and she had worn perfume between her knees. It was the most punctilious obedience. He couldn't fault her for it, but at the same time, she knew sudden nudity wasn't nearly as enticing as slow disrobing or the tease of lace undergarments. Let Orsul think her an ineffectual tease. Let him think her a slut. Let him think whatever he wanted, as long as he did it from a distance. Besides, she wouldn't give any man the satisfaction of seeing her back down. Vi felt the stares of every courtier, advisor, Würdmeister, servant, and guard in the room. She didn't care. Her nudity was her armor. It blinded the drooling fools. They couldn't see anything else while they saw her body. Gareth Orsul looked her up and down again, his eyes not shifting in the least.
"You wouldn't be any fun," the God King said. "You're already a whore."
For some reason, from this terrible man, those words sank in with Barbs. She stood naked before him, and he'd completely lost interest. It was what she'd wanted, but it still hurt. "All women are whores," she said. "Whether they sell their bodies or their smiles and their charm, or their childbearing years and submission to a man. The world makes a woman a whore, but a woman makes her terms. Your Holiness." He seemed amused at her sudden fire, but his amusement passed.
"Did you think I wouldn't see what you did with my guard? Did you think you could eavesdrop on me?"
"Of course I did," Vi said. But now her flippancy was a farce. "He saw me? Through the wall?" She knew she had to hold on to her bravado, or she might dissolve right into the floor. With the God King, if you wanted to win, you had to play as if you despised life. But she'd heard about gamblers who'd lost. The God King chuckled, and his courtiers followed his lead.
"Of course you did," he said. "I like you, Mulina. I won't kill you today. Not many women would get in a pissing match with a king, much less a god."
"I'm not like any woman you've ever met," Vi said before she could stop herself. His smile withered.
"You give yourself too much credit. For that, I will break you. But not today.
Your Sakage is giving us trouble. Go to your little underworld friends and find out who the real Shinga is, not a figurehead. Find out and kill him."
Vi felt naked for the first time. Her armor wavered. God or man, Gareth Orsul had titanic confidence. He told her he would break her, and then exhibited not the slightest concern that she would disobey him. It wasn't a bluff. It wasn't arrogance. It was a simple exercise of the prerogatives of vast power. The courtiers eyed her now, like the dogs under a king's table eyed a fine scrap of meat that might fall to the floor. Vi wondered if the God King would give her to one of them. Or all of them.
"Do you know," the God King said, "that you're witch-born? As your Southerns say, talented. So here's your incentive. If you kill this Shinga, we'll call it your master's piece, and not only will you be a master wet boy, but I'll train you myself. I'll give you power far beyond anything Hugh Gibbet could even imagine. Power over him, if you wish. But if you fail me..."
"Well..." He smiled, a thin-lipped smile.
"Don't fail. Now be gone."
She went, her heart thumping. Success meant betraying her world. Betraying the Cenarian Sakage, the most feared underworld in Midcryu. It meant killing their leader for a reward she wasn't sure she wanted. Train to become a witch with the God King himself? Even as he spoke, she imagined his words were webs, binding her tighter and tighter to him. It was almost tangible, a spell draping over her like a net, daring her to struggle.
She felt sick. Obedience was the only possibility. However bad success was, failure wasn't an option. She'd heard the stories.
Vi,
the God King called. She stopped, halfway to the door, feeling a shiver at that horror using her name. But the God King was smiling. Now his eyes touched her naked body, the way a man's eyes might. Something flashed like a shadow toward her, and she snatched the wad of cloth out of the air on reflex.
Take your dress, he said.